This is Amber Ray
and Rusty Tanton,
and you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that's using Twitter now, believe it or not. Today's April 14th, and this is the first podcast that we're recording from our new apartment.
Yeah, we don't have any of our sound equipment set up yet, so you'll hear a lot of echoes in here. You'll hear some thunderstorms outside. Hell, you might even hear some fireworks from a few minutes ago.
You weren't supposed to tell them that. We were supposed to say it was gunfire.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you might hear some gunfire because Atlanta is a very dangerous
city. Is a very dangerous city. So, back to Twitter.
Yeah, we're actually Twittering while we're recording this interview.
Yeah.
Rusty's going to Twitter first.
I'll talk
because we're just using the Zoom recorder. I'm just holding it. We're just sitting on the couch here. I can't believe that I'm using Twitter. Well, I mean, I can, because I had a feeling that it would probably be inevitable that eventually I'd start using it. But I didn't want to use it just because it's, you know, the next thing. It's the thing that people are using. I mean, I have to know why I care and why it's going to be fun or useful or interesting to me. I'm not going to use it just because somebody's like, oh, that's the new thing. Early adopters have to use it. No, not really. I don't. But then I decided to just, you know, what the hell? I'll give it a shot. And now, you know, it's kind of fun. Like, I don't use it on my phone mostly because I don't really use anything on my phone. I have a really very minimalistic phone.
Whereas I'm an early adopter with phones, and I use it for just about everything. I read my email, my blogs, I send photos to it. I used it as a remote control for iTunes for a little while. I mean, if it can be done on a phone,
I take photos with it.
Yeah. Did I not say that?
You said you send photos to it.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Well, I meant to say I send photos to Flickr.
Right.
From my phone, and then I'll type captions on them later because typing on a phone kind of sucks.
And I probably am going to get a phone that's more advanced soon. I just basically don't like spending money. Why don't you Twitter and see if anybody has any phone suggestions for me?
Okay.
Or I guess maybe technically I should Twitter that.
Yeah, why don't you Twitter that?
Okay, here, you hold this and talk for a while.
So, yeah. I just put out a Twitter to the group here and just said, anybody want to send questions to us to answer in a podcast? We're doing an off-the-cuff talkie and Twittering at the same time. It's also meta and geeky and all of that. So Amber's over there.
Okay, I put.
What'd you just type?
I type. Recording a podcast. Does anyone have any recommendations for a new phone for me to get? We'll put it on the podcast.
Yes. So
I've actually been Twittering a lot, and it doesn't seem like a lot, you know, until I go back and look at my history page. Mm-hmm. I guess because it's just so easy to really quickly type in a little quick thing because it's 160 characters or less, which I like. I mean, that really encourages brevity.
Yeah.
I mean, Twitter has good potential. I mean, several weeks ago when I put up my PodCamp Atlanta reflection post about, you know, things to do differently next year and all that, one of my main questions was, well, what about the prize drawing? Because I think it's really great that we had a prize drawing, but it was kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it was a really logistical nightmare, actually. I mean, it really turned out, it got to a point where so many people weren't there for the drawings that we had to just hand out tickets in each session to make sure that there was going to be somebody there to win a prize.
And I don't know if there's really a better way, but Shelby suggested Twittering the prizes, which, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a great idea, but not everybody uses Twitter, but maybe by 2008 they will.
Yeah, if it doesn't go the Friendster route and not update itself fast enough for capacity.
Yeah, we'll see.
Or for the people who are using it.
All right, well, I guess that's probably enough about Twitter, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. We have yet to get any submitted Twitter.
This really, really takes instant gratification to a whole new level.
Yeah, it really
does.
And
it really, I have to say, I mean, it really appeals to my voyeuristic streak. I have a not very secret voyeuristic streak, and this is just one other thing to appeal to it.
Well, I like that I can sit here and do it on my computer, or, you know, it's because it's so simplistic, I can still completely participate in it when I'm on my cell phone too.
And the real use for it, I mean, not real use, but a big use for it is, like, you know, when we say, you know, on the phone or something, Twitter, I'm Emmanuel's, or I'm going here, or I'm going there. If you want to meet me, come show up, and that kind of thing.
That kind of thing.
But seriously, this time, that's all about Twitter.
Yes.
That's it. Moving on. We were in PodCamp New York last weekend. It was huge.
Yeah, it was massive. They had, what, 1,300 registered people?
Yeah, and I don't know how many actually showed up. I think they're probably still trying to figure it out themselves, but
yeah.
God, it was massive. It was. They had sessions. I mean, part of this was because they packed it all into one day instead of 2 days, but part of it was just because of how massive it was. They had 12 sessions going on at once in every time slot.
Yeah, and that's awesome. I'm glad there were so many people participating, but it was also really overwhelming, and it would have been nice if it could have been stretched into 2 or even 3 days.
Yeah, but, you know, I understand their limitations because, like, you know, it sucked enough for us with St. Patrick's Day to contend with. Easter's a bigger deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they had sessions. I mean, they were on 3 floors of a hotel.
Yeah, and a pretty swanky hotel, I'll add. The New Yorker.
The New Yorker, that's right.
Which is, what, near Penn Station,
mm-hmm.
I think?
Yep, yeah, that's right. So PodCamp New York was a pretty good time, an interesting experience. You know, we went to some good sessions, da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
What else? We manned the help desk for a while.
And we did man the help desk.
I thought that was fun, you know? I mean, I like to help out because I know how much goes into something like this. It was fun, and I liked being helpful, and I was helpful as much as I could, but sometimes there were a couple of people who were weird. Like, that one girl was really pissed off that I didn't have a coat check.
Yeah, I mean, there was somebody... It's like, you're at an unconference. If you want there to be a coat check, start a damn coat check, you know?
Right.
I mean...
I don't know why I'm supposed to be
in
charge.
And, you know, in fairness, I would have liked for there to have been
but
a coat check.
But the hotel didn't have one, so that's sort of...
the hotel didn't have a coat check.
Anyway.
The Brooklyn Museum had a coat check.
That's right. They sure did. So, New Yorker Hotel, you better get on the ball.
Exactly.
You've got the Brooklyn Museum to compete with.
Yes. So, what else did you take out of PodCamp New York?
I mean, you know, look, I don't want to be negative, but I have to say there was some regional bias that I did detect.
Is that kind of like, I'm not a racist,
no,
but...
I know that's how it sounded. I mean, I'm not trying to, like, what I mean is I'm not trying to say, you know, PodCamp New York sucked because of this.
Yeah.
Or it's a reflection on the event or something. It's not. It's just... It's what I experienced. It's what I detected. And obviously, with it being such a large event with so many people, you know, maybe if I had happened to interact with other people, I wouldn't have detected that.
Yeah. I guess the yardstick maybe I could put up is we didn't have any, you know, KKK members show up to PodCamp Atlanta or anything like that.
Wait, what? How's that a yardstick?
Well, like, okay, the yardstick. Okay, let me rephrase. At any event of any size, you're going to have a few people who are jackasses. I mean, that's just how it goes. It has nothing to do with the organizers, and it's not even really a reflection on the place. I mean, no matter where you go, there are jackasses everywhere. But, you know, we had a couple of real kind of regionally biased jackasses we ran into there that were really, well, they were jackasses.
John Havens, if you're listening to this, you might not be. But if you are, on some small chance, I wanna just take it right up with you. I didn't appreciate what you said during the Adventures in PodCamp session, which I believe is now online, either in video or audio form.
We'll post a link if it is.
I just, you know, why'd you do that? Here's what happened for those of you who don't know. We were up there, it was like me, John Havens, who was the main organizer of PodCamp New York, Chris Penn, Jay Muna, and like two other, Whitney, I don't know her last name, and I know somebody else whose name I don't remember. Basically other PodCamp organizers. Just talking about, you know, our experiences of organizing one of these things and, you know, what our takeaways are and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And at some point, well, first of all, I was having a really hard time getting a word in edgewise just at all.
Yeah.
Which I guess you could say that's partially my fault, but I mean, I don't want to be an asshole and just like grab the mic out of somebody's hand.
Be like, hey, it's my turn.
Yeah, I mean, you know how it is when the conversation is flowing, and it just wasn't flowing that way for me.
Yeah.
And that Jay Muna guy was really, really hyper too, and he was talking a lot. But so at one point, you know, John was saying something, and he was saying, you know, like, well, I'm sure so-and-so and da-da-da-da have learned from their experiences. And we said that he named everybody on stage. You know, mm-hmm. he's like, I'm sure Whitney and Chris and Jay and, you know, but he said everybody's name except mine.
Mm-hmm.
And that irritated me. And then Chris
But Penn, it could also have been an oversight.
It could have been an oversight. Yeah. Yes, that could have been an oversight. And so Chris Penn was like, John, Amber's here too. You know, I said, hey, what's up, John? And he said something like, oh, well, it doesn't matter if she's from the South. Like, something like that. And I was like, what?
Not cool.
What the fuck? Are you kidding me?
Not cool. Not
Holy
cool
shit.
At all.
Like, yeah. So what's up with that, John?
What is up indeed? You know, you can call our Skype number and respond if you'd like. What is the Skype number?
I don't know.
I've got it somewhere.
678-something.
678-389-9441.
Oh, hey, look at this. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Did we get a Twitter?
We got a Twitter, but did you finish saying the voicemail?
Let me just say it once more just to make sure it went through. 678-389-9441. So if you'd like to leave a response to that, we will, in a future podcast, put anything you have to say in.
Yeah, or if anybody has any thoughts about regional bias or, you know, your experiences at...
Either way.
Tech events
or anything,
you know, whatever you want. We'll put it in a podcast. Now, we have a Twitter here from Michael Bailey of MobaSoft. MobaSoft was a PodCamp Atlanta sponsor. Saw him in PodCamp New York, too. Real nice guy. He says, Nokia N95, of course. Good luck with that. I have Verizon 67,000 Pocket PC.
So here we go, Google for Nokia N95. This is also Web 2.0, isn't it?
I don't know why he says good luck with that. I don't know if that's a sarcastic good luck with that or if that's just a really legit good luck with that.
So, all right, I Googled it. We have nseries.com as our first non-sponsored result, which is Nokia's site, I assume.
Looking.
Is it Nokia or Nokia?
I don't know.
If I'm pronouncing that wrong, call me out on it later.
Okay, while Rusty's Googling that, I want to talk about some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I basically want to talk about an unconference, that I've had an idea for. Been mulling this over in my head for a while.
Holy shit, this is going to have noise.
Okay, why don't you turn the volume off on your computer?
Yeah. Okay. Now it's done.
Here, why don't you turn this?
Yeah.
Okay. So all the unconferences that we've been to over the past several months, they've all had sessions that are like, you know, women in blogging, women in podcasting, women in whatever. And in my experience with those, they all have ended up coming around to this topic of, you know, what can you and can't you say? Or what should you and shouldn't you say? And it has always gotten a bit tense to hostile, depending
tense,
on
tense
which one
hostile.
It is. And it's funny because I'm not going to say that that's just a characteristic of those sessions just based on their existence, because I've talked to other people about it and told other people about it, and they were like, oh, that's really weird because I was at such and such conference and... in a women in whatever session, and that didn't happen at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I guess whatever, you know, it's just happened that the ones that we've been to have ended up that way. And it's and it's really not the fault of my presence, I have to say, because really, with the exception of one of them, I haven't really said much in those sessions. But so it really got me thinking that, you know, there really needs to be, because that's sort of like entry-level stuff, and there really needs to be something else. There needs to be a conference that deals with the intersection of some things that haven't intersected, for lack of a better word, in conference form as of yet. So, for example, I read and participate in a lot of feminist blogs. There's a lot of activity in the feminist blogosphere. There's a lot of sex-positive blogs and, you know, websites and message boards and mailing lists and everything that are very active. There are women in the Web 2.0 space, and I can't believe I'm using Web 2.0 seriously, but what the hell else are you going to say, who are doing really interesting things. And I really want to, I think there should be a conference that talks about, you know, the internet, Web 2.0, and how it's contributing, you know, furthering, like, the advancement of, I don't know, women and sexual exploration, feminism, just exploration of their sexuality. You know, I mean, I don't, this sounds like a, it's not a very good description, but it's because it's all still germinating in my head.
Yeah.
And I floated the idea with a few people and described it better than I'm describing it now because it's late at night.
Mm-hmm.
But they all seem to think it sounds like a really, really good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I just would love to see something like that happen. And, you know, I'm sort of surprised that it hasn't happened yet, you know, from someone like Melissa Guerra or, you know, somebody else who's really, really active in the tech space, you know, with the sex nerd thing.
Well, I get it. It's one of those things where all the discussion on that seems to be happening, what, in L.A. and New York, basically?
Well, yeah, that's another thing.
And getting back to regional bias again.
All the movers and shakers are, for the most part, in L.A., San Francisco, or New York. And that's great, but fuck it. If I'm going to do this conference, I'm going to do it here in Atlanta.
Well, you know, 70, 80 years ago, there were technical reasons to try to concentrate all that stuff into one place. But there's no technological limitation anymore or any reason why that stuff shouldn't be happening everywhere.
Yeah, and the people that I've talked to, feminist blogger friends that I've floated the idea by, you know, I've asked them, well, if there was this type of conference and it was in Atlanta, would you come down here for it? And they said yes. So I think there could be interest. So, you know, if anybody listening has any thoughts, wants
Twitter,
to,
voicemail.
Yeah, anything. Just let me know, because obviously I can't do it all myself, but I think it could be a really, mm-hmm. really good, productive thing. And I just want something, you know, where we can get past this whole thing, like the woman at Blog Savannah who was saying, if you're a stripper, you should be fired from your day job. Mm-hmm. Fuck it. You know, we got to get past that
mm-hmm.
and start talking about more productive things. So,
yeah. So there's
that's
that.
All.
So I guess if you have any thoughts,
leave
them on our voicemail.
678-389-9441.
Indeed. We have another Twitter.
What does it say?
Grayson sends us a Twitter. Our good friend Grayson Daughters of the Spacey Gracie Review. She says, I got a question. You guys yet Twittered in a Walmart? If so, what department?
I haven't been in a Walmart in years.
I haven't. Yeah, so it kind of, kind of makes me wonder if she's literally talking about Twitter or if she's talking about us, you know, fucking in a Walmart.
Well,
because
we haven't done
either one, because we haven't been to a Walmart in a while. I can't even honestly remember the last time I went to Walmart. Actually, I think I do. It was when I moved into my last apartment was the last time I think I'd been to a Walmart. And that's been almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So
there you go.
Not quite 2 years, but long enough. Year and a half anyway. So that's what we got for Grayson.
We found the Nokia N5, but we're not going to read to you about it.
N95.
N95.
Yeah, it's got a 5-megapixel camera and apparently says it can upload instantly to Flickr, download movies in a heartbeat.
I don't know about that heartbeat thing.
I don't know about a heartbeat, but it does look kind of neat, and I would be intrigued to try it out. Maybe you could check that dude's who left the Twitter?
Michael Bailey.
Michael Bailey. Does Michael Bailey live around here?
No, he lives in Kansas City.
Well, that makes trying out his Nokia N95 a problem, doesn't it?
Well, he doesn't have a Nokia N95. He says he has a Verizon 67,000 pocket PC.
Huh.
But I can't ask him why he recommended the Nokia, because he said he Twittered that he's going to bed.
Ah. Damn. Well, I guess we'll just have to ask him later.
I guess so. What a shame.
Or maybe he can leave us a voicemail. That's
all right. Enough with the voicemail.
We don't need to repeat that.
Okay. Moving right along. What else should we talk about?
Let's look at our list here. We're going to blog her in July.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm really excited. It's in Chicago, July 27th through 28th. And neither of us has ever been to Chicago, so we're going to make a little trip out of it.
Uh-huh.
We're going to a Cubs game.
Technically, I have been to Chicago, sort of. I've been through O'Hare Airport, which is a nightmare.
Yeah, the airport doesn't really count. So I'm excited about Blog Her. It should be a pretty big deal. And I think that a lot of the discussions that I was talking about when I was talking about, you know, what I want this unconference to be, I think a lot of those discussions will be happening at Blogger, especially on the identity track that they have.
Uh-huh.
So I'll be interested to see what happens there.
Yes.
Oh, so back to the regional bias thing, sort of.
Again.
Well, you know, it's just the next thing on our list was Web 2.0 community in Atlanta. And, you know, it's just, I feel like some people aren't taking PodCamp Atlanta and Georgia Podcast Network and stuff seriously because we're in the South. But I think they're going to have to get over that because, I mean, obviously it's not going to stop us from doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a big community here in Atlanta, and I think it's really reaching the tipping point. There have been a lot of events. I mean, SoCon, PodCamp, and then this roller coaster mashup thing, and now there's a Net Squared group. And,
yeah.
The Big Thinker group and just a lot of stuff going on. So, I mean, it's ripe for a lot of sort of major things to start coming out of Atlanta. I mean, now I guess the next thing we would really need as a huge thing would be, you know, some kind of product or something. I mean, we probably have, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if somebody from Atlanta made Twitter or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I hear kind of mixed things because I hear there's a lot of money for entrepreneurs here in the community, but then I also hear, I hear there's a lot of money for business here. Let me take that back. I didn't mean entrepreneurs, for big, large corporations that are doing logistics and things like that, but not for entrepreneurs. That's what I meant to say. The venture capital market is just dead here. And so I think it's going to take some sort of major product coming out of Atlanta that's a Web 2.0 product, because all the old world business, there's a lot of old world business here, and just I can't even name all the corporations that have headquarters here, but they're all very old school corporations. I mean, Home Depot, Coca-Cola, people like that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of business potential here, but it doesn't seem like the sort of social media Web 2.0 thing has really picked up from a business standpoint here yet. There's a big community of people who are enthusiasts and having fun, but the business part is still a little slow to pick up.
Well, I guess the fact that there are so many people here,
mm-hmm.
smart people doing interesting things, you know, getting together, meeting each other, you know, having ideas come to fruition, that could eventually influence the businesses that are here, because if we hit a certain critical mass of people, you know, it's sort of like the old school businesses might start paying attention a little mm-hmm. more, and there might be a little more room for influence. But on the other hand, I have to say, I mean, somebody, maybe it was Chris Brogan, I can't remember now who it was writing about PodCamp mm-hmm. and just saying that, you know, there are always sessions about monetizing mm-hmm. at PodCamp. But it's like, please, can we just get over the monetizing thing already? You don't have to fucking monetize it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's really not why you should be doing it.
Exactly.
I mean, I understand everybody wants to make money. God, I want to make money. But, like, we do the podcasting thing because it's fun.
Exactly.
You know, there's so few people who are making money doing this and that's their only job. It's just completely unrealistic. And I think it sort of makes it less, I don't know what the word I want to use is. Like, it makes it less fun if
it kind of
the only thing you're focusing on is the money.
It makes it a little,
it
makes it a little joyless. Which, speaking of joyless,
let's not get too negative. But it just, I don't know. I don't want to be all like anti-money either, because I'm not like that. Like, oh, if you're making money at it, you're instantly bad, which that's totally not true.
That's not true.
But you know what I mean. Like, if that's your primary focus, I just think...
I mean, I'm actually very content right now having a day job that pays me well and doing this for fun in my own time.
Yep.
And I guess what I would like to see in a lot of ways is to have a lot of the people who are enthusiasts get jobs at some of these older, more established companies so that they bring some of those ideas into those companies. And honestly, so we don't have to run the business part, because honestly, it sounds like a headache to me.
Yeah, I don't really want to do it. I mean, you know, I know Sherry thinks we need to write a business plan and everything, and I'm really happy for the vote of confidence from her, but, you know, we have to do this on our terms.
Yeah, exactly. So we're just not in that place right now where we really are interested in pursuing that part of it. Really.
Although
heavily.
If somebody would want to throw a pile of money at us,
yeah, I mean,
we'd be more than happy.
I'm not allergic to money.
Speaking of money, not really, but I'm going to tie this in. Today in pole dancing class, I went upside down by myself for the first time.
How's that? Speaking of money.
Well, because that other girl in class, when I was doing the routine, kept yelling, "Go, girl, you get all that money.
You go, girl."
It was funny at the time. I guess you had to be there.
Yeah.
But it's very exciting because I had not yet gone upside down without any help from the instructors. So I'm very excited about that.
Excellent.
And it's also speaking of money because eventually, at some point, probably in the summer or something, damn it, I am going to go to an amateur night.
Yeah, that'll
be awesome.
And
when I do, I will announce it ahead of time on the podcast, and I would like as many people as possible to come out so that I can, you know, seed the crowd and, like, have people there to vote for me so that I win.
Yeah.
That's not dishonest, is it?
Because everybody who's there is going to ask everybody they know to show up. So.
Yeah, and a lot of the people who go to those are actually already strippers anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So
whenever I go to amateur night, you should all come out and give me a lot of money and clap and stuff like that.
You think you'll take your clothes off?
I don't know. We'll have to see. Because it's hard enough, you know, remembering all the moves and stuff for just the dancing to try to add in the taking your clothes off.
We probably need to go to a couple of amateur nights, too, and see what the sort of, I don't know, common practice is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, are people commonly stripping, like actually taking their clothes off, or are they mostly just dancing?
Yeah. We should find out.
Yeah. Because I've been to a lot of strip clubs, right? But somehow I've never been to an amateur night. I've also never been to the Claremont Lounge, which seems kind of like an egregious offense against being an Atlantan.
Well, we'll do that eventually.
Yeah.
Okay, do we have anything else on our list that we need to cover?
Let us see. I think, well, we have us moving.
Oh, we moved. We're in the new apartment. It's still a mess. It'll be a mess for a while. But
I guess we kind of talked about that at the beginning. It's a massive place in an old telephone factory. I've got photos of it on Flickr, which we'll link to in our post about this podcast.
And our new podcast studio is going to be in a vault, which is in our apartment, the original vault of the original telephone factory, with the big door, with the combination lock and everything. And I mean, you're going to have to come to our podcast parties after that, because who else can say that they podcast from a vault?
Yeah, especially too, because I'm actually going to put some effort into the acoustics in there this time around, which we had no way to really do in our old space. I've been sort of geeking out on sound engineering material and how to build bass traps and how to build all that kind of thing.
The last thing on our list is the fact that my blog is turning 5 this coming Tuesday, April 17th. Yes. This is a big milestone.
It is a big milestone.
I can't believe it. I've been blogging for 5 years. 5 years.
That's a long damn time.
When I started here's how different.
It's a fifth of your life. Here's, almost.
Whoa, don't say that. I don't know. That makes me feel weird.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you feel weird. Jesus.
So what I was going to say was...
now that I've derailed the entire podcast.
No. here's how different things were when I started. It just shows how much can change in 5 years. When I started the blog, I was still an undergraduate at the University of Georgia. I was married. I was 22 years old. I was...
Not podcasting.
No, because there was no such thing as podcasting. I had to write my own blog software because there wasn't much out there that didn't suck. I was using a G4 tower, a 350 megahertz mm-hmm. G4 Sawtooth, which was actually a pretty damn nice computer.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I don't know. I mean, that's pretty different from now.
Yeah, totally different. I mean, were you living? Where were you living?
Athens.
Yeah.
Yep. Hmm. So anyway, I'm going to have a little party next Friday at Manuel's for my blog, and we're probably going to record a podcast to people just talking about their history with blogging and all that kind of thing, and we'll try to sneak in some cupcakes, and hopefully the Manuel's management won't be mad about that.
I think they'll be okay with it. I've seen them people bring in cakes and things. I think as long as it's like a dessert item, it's fine. You couldn't bring in like burgers or something.
Yeah. All right, well, I think that's all I've got. You got anything else?
Call or voicemail?
For the third time.
678-389-9441. And I guess you can add us to Twitter, too. What's your Twitter username?
Amber L. Ray.
And then mine is Rusty Tanton.
Imagine that.
Imagine that.
All right, well, we'll see y'all on Twitter. And talk to you later.
Laters.
Bye.
The song you heard in this podcast was Flux by Drop Trio, available only on Magnatune.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you have a question, comment, or drunken rant, leave us a voicemail by calling 678-389-9441. Who knows, it might be featured in a podcast. You can also email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com.